One Snowy Night by Rita Bradshaw, read by Julia Barry. Part 1. Betrayal, 1922. Chapter 1. It was the first week of March. The bitter northeast wind was such that it sliced into flesh like a knife, and the young woman gingerly picking her way on the compressed snow was muffled up to the eyeballs, her felt hat pulled well down over her forehead and her woolly scarf covering the bottom half of her face. The deepening twilight was offset by the brilliance of the mantle of white covering the trees and hedgerow in the lane she was walking down. But Ruby Morgan was blind to the winter wonderland around her and the glow of the setting sun. It was the eve of her wedding. She should be home, dealing with the last bits and pieces that still needed to be done, she told herself, not tramping about in the freezing cold and getting chilled to the bone. Her mam had said much the same thing as she'd pulled on her outdoor things.
What on earth is your Adam thinking of, Ruby? Asking you to meet him in Snowdrop Lane tonight of all nights? It's a good 15 minutes' walk. And the pavements are lethal. You'll go a cropper and end up hobbling down the aisle with a stick tomorrow. That'd be a fine state of affairs, wouldn't it? If he wants to see you, what's wrong with him coming here? Balmy this is, lass.
Ruby hadn't argued. She'd agreed with her mother. But it had seemed disloyal to Adam to admit it, and so she had merely shrugged and continued buttoning her coat.
Aren't you going to say anything?
Her mother had appealed to the other two people sitting at the kitchen table, her tone sharp. Ruby's father had disappeared behind his newspaper by way of reply, which hadn't surprised her. Since he'd come home from the war, he was a shell of his former self. Having watched both his sons die in the carnage of the Somme campaign and sustaining serious injuries himself in the last months of the war in the heavy fighting on the Western Front. But Ruby's brow wrinkled. Olive had been unusually quiet. Normally her sister had an opinion about everything. Although Olive was only 3 years her senior, she was as sour as an old maid, and they had never got on. It was rare her sister missed an opportunity to add her 2 penneth to things, especially if Olive could side with their mam against her. Catching sight of Adam waiting for her in a curve in the lane, all thoughts of her sister were gone. Raising her hand, she walked faster, only to land up on her bottom in the snow as her feet slipped on a patch of ice. He reached her in moments, lifting her up. But then, as she giggled and tried to talk, she found herself pressed against his chest so tightly she could hardly breathe. When at last he released her, she gazed in concern at his dear face, his handsome face. She knew every expression, every little nuance, because hadn't they loved each other since they were bairns, larking about in the playground? But she'd never seen him looking as he was now.
What's the matter? What's wrong?
And when he didn't answer, merely staring at her with haunted eyes, she said again,
What's the matter? Why did you want to meet here? I couldn't believe it when your Ronnie turned up at the shop with the note. Why didn't you come yourself?
She didn't add that Mrs. Walton, the owner of the costumier establishment, where she had worked since leaving school some years ago at the age of 13, had been less than pleased to see Adam's grubby little brother, Ronnie, marching into her immaculate shop with his snotty nose and holey trousers, demanding to see Adam's Ruby, as he'd smeared the contents of his nose across his face with the sleeve of his coat.
I couldn't come myself,
said Adam, even his voice sounding different.
But why not? You're on the early shift, aren't you?
Adam was a miner at the Weir Mouth Colliery, like his father and older brothers, and since they'd become engaged on Ruby's 16th birthday, she'd been collecting her bottom drawer. Adam had saved hard too, after paying his board to his mam. They'd both been determined to rent a 2-up, 2-down terraced house when they got wed, and to have enough money to partly furnish it too. A few weeks ago, a house had come up in Wood Street, a stone's throw from the colliery.